Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Wow, Steve. Gosh, Steve. I can't believe it, Steve. What's a Christian radio show host on Christian radio stations doing, talking about politics, or, God forbid, having a politician or would-be politician in the studio with me? Oh, my goodness, Steve. What is the deal? What about the separation of church and state? I've said it before. I'll say it again. I will give you $5,000 in cash. I'll drive. You and I will drive to my bank. I'll give you $5,000 of cash if you can show me in the U.S. Constitution where the words separation of church and state exist. And I'm safe there because they don't. But if you want to try, that's fine. Kim Coley is running for North Carolina House District 36, a sister in Christ, and a, gosh, how would I describe you? You're very direct.
Yes.
You're full of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
You've got a lot of energy.
Yes.
And I wouldn't want to unnecessarily upset you. How's
no.
that? Is that about right?
Yeah. I'm pretty well spoken.
Mother, wife, well spoken.
Yeah. And businesswoman. I have been flipping properties for 20 years.
Wow.
Yeah. So I deal in a man's world with contractors on a regular basis. And I have I'm just as comfortable in a pair of high heels as I am in muck boots.
Which is a beautiful thing. And I think that's probably a pretty good parallel for dealing with the political arena. So, yeah, tell us a little bit about your past, Kim. And then Kim will be with us for the whole hour. But in the third segment of the show, we're going to talk to Greg Hahn, who's running for the Wake County School Board. So I just wanted to get you guys in this realm because, as I've said before, I will make the case. I will continue to make the case that I actually think it's a sin for you to not vote because I think it's a violation of neighbor love, which is a violation of God love. And so I'm going to continue to push this every 2 years when we vote, and especially every 4 years in a presidential election. We'll talk to Greg, Wake County School Board, up here in the Raleigh area in segment three. And in segment four, our friend E.C. Sykes, who's a fellow believer in Christ running for Secretary of State. So we're going to just kind of continue to inform and engage and hopefully inspire you guys. But Kim's going to be with me the whole time. So if you're on Facebook Live, we're going to be jiving on the commercial breaks as well. But your background a little bit, and then why politics?
You know what? And those guys are great. So stick around because you really want to hear from them. They're strong, and they're strong in their knowledge of why they're running and what they're running for. That's one of the things I love about being a candidate is the opportunity to meet such great other people. It's fabulous.
It's inspiring.
Uh-huh. And I told my husband, I said, you know what? I know it costs us a lot of money because it's not just time and energy. We put our own money in it. But I get so much out of it. It's almost like a college education, whether it's with the connections or the knowledge that you learn. And so being a candidate, one of the greatest things that I get out of it is the self-growth that I get. And I love it, and the connections. And I still have connections from 2016 helping in the presidential then. So it's just been building upon, and I love that opportunity. But a little bit about me, going back to even your introduction, if we're not supposed to be separation of church and state, then I'm really separation of personalities.
Yeah.
I shouldn't have been here. I never thought I would run for politics. Yeah. I never thought I would run for office and be one of those. To me, it was a confliction. I just wanted to serve. And I actually, my father and my grandfather are both doctors of theology. Mm. I am an evangelist kid. My dad would be an interim pastor. So where we were, the denomination we were involved with, we elected our pastors, and they would come in and they would kind of, I don't know, go through an introduction.
Yeah, and then meet and greet.
Yeah,
and they preach and see what their deal
is. And the church would vote on them. And so my dad would come in as letting the dust settle from whatever had happened in that facility or in that church, in that body. And so I was in an area from anywhere from a weekend with a revival to 3 weeks to a year, depending on what we were doing.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I didn't have time to sit back and guess who or choose or be particular about who was going to be my friends. I had to get in there on a Friday night, make friends. Otherwise, I was lonely however long I was going to I'm going to be there. And I actually had friends in college that would tell me I needed to land somewhere. I was a butterfly. Kim, you need to get a group of friends, and you need to stick with that group of friends. But I'd get bored because this group had this going on, and this had this opportunity, and this was going here, or they were traveling there. And so I was a butterfly and always a nomad. And it just felt like I never fit in. I never belonged. Until now. And then I realize that the reason for my upbringing, the reason for my design is so that I've never met a stranger.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem knocking on doors. I don't have a problem calling up elected officials and asking for help or people that know more than me. It's because, hey, I don't know how long I'm going to be here. So let's just make this happen. Let's make it the best while we got the opportunity and go for it.
Yeah, it's a great point. We're talking to Kim Coley. She's running for North Carolina House 36, which is here in the Raleigh area, down kind of in the Apex area, right? Mm-hmm. Kind of Apex, south of the city. TrustKimColey.com. Coley. And so what in particular kind of brought you to the point? It's one thing to be involved. It's another thing to run for office. Was there any particular moment or something, Kim, in your life or an experience that you're like, okay, I'm doing this now?
Yes. Well, what happened was I was actually for Ted Cruz in 2016. Yeah. And my husband said, would you just take a look at Trump? And I went, I've looked.
That was enough.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
A lot of us felt the same way. Sure.
And he said, my husband's a businessman. And he said, Kim, you keep talking about this debt that we're incurring with our national debt. And he said, I think it's really going to take a businessman, but you have discernment. Would you just get involved and just see what you see behind the scene? And so I did, and I ended up helping with the North Carolina election for 2016. And I don't know if you remember, but the Raleigh rally with the first one he did right here in Raleigh. I was actually supposed to be running the VIP section, and they kept moving me down, wanting to know where I was in case they needed me to pull something out in the back. Laura Trump had a bunch of family coming in, and so they didn't want any extra bodies in the back. And so I kept moving down a little bit further, and then all of a sudden, I'm right over his shoulder. And I had pastor friends, like you had Pastor Rodney Finch.
Yeah.
They were in New York, and all of a sudden, Trump is on the Joe Patron, a Times Square, and Elvira goes, there's Kim. What's Kim doing on the Jobotron?
Isn't that funny? Yeah, it's crazy how God will put us in places that we never thought we would ever be in. Running for office certainly sounds like it's one of those, but God was training you. He designed you a certain way. Once I got on the radio, I looked back and went, oh, okay, this makes sense. I could see how the trail brought me right to where I am today. By the way, Laura Trump's going to be on tomorrow. So she's calling in tomorrow, which is pretty cool. We're talking to Kim Coley, NC House 36, TrustKimColey.com. We'll be right back. 'Cause you are more than I could ever dream. This world could ever see. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Today, talking with three friends that are running for elected office here in North Carolina. It's so important that we have these conversations. Unfortunately, I mean, it's good and it's bad. That people will, every 2 years, ask me for my voting list and stuff because people just don't take the time to investigate. And so if they have a source that they trust and they know, somebody like me that's been at it for a while, they'll literally just take my list and go. But I would prefer it if you actually did your homework. If you get educated, if you study, if you find out who's running for elected office in your district, what they stand for, and especially as a Christian, to filter all that stuff through a biblical worldview. And then you won't need anybody's help. It's pretty easy to do after that. If your allegiance is ultimately to the Lord, not to the party, not to the right or to the left. Now, most of the time when you apply biblical truth, you're going to end up in the conservative camp. But you should really get used to doing your own homework. So today and even tomorrow, we're going to have people on and through November 3rd to be able to tell you their story themselves. These are people that I support. Otherwise, they wouldn't be on the show. That's a good thing about being the host. And and so today we're spending some time with Kim Coley, who's running for North Carolina House 36, which is kind of down in the Apex area just south of Raleigh. And Kim, I really appreciate you being in here today.
Thanks for having me.
And so I was asking that question, then we hit the break, about just kind of what tipped you over the edge that you're like, okay, I'm going to run.
Well, actually, it was a series of things, and still never really thought I was going to run. I became the second vice chair of the Wake County Republican Party through my connections of working for the Trump campaign. And then I thought, working with Charles Helwig, that my goal or my maybe my purpose should be more to bond and bring people in, you know, really. Miss Congeniality.
Yeah,
let's just be honest.
Cheerleader, organizer,
yeah,
get people involved.
Like, rah, 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 the troops, right? And so I started going out and visiting the municipalities and getting to know the mayors and getting to know the town councils. And then there was a comment made about the county commissioners. Okay, what does a county commissioner do? So I spent all this time downloading about what a county commissioner does and thought, I'll just show up and make friends. And then I found out that all seven of our county commissioners are all Democrats.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I thought, okay, well, the only way you can make, you know, make a difference is if you influence people by friendship. And so I became friends. And at the time, Irv Portman was my county commissioner. So I would, you know, pull him aside or I'd ask him questions or I'd email them. And it actually started when I went to a meeting and there was three commissioners in this meeting, and they were having a committee meeting, and the Lord, I felt the, you know, the Lord tell me, focus on three positive things. And okay, so I did. And when I got home, I emailed these three commissioners. And I had learned that Sig Hutchinson, who's running again, that he was part of the transportation. So even though I was going to give him something positive, I knew a little bit more, and so I started to write what I knew regarding transportation because I have the Republicans I'm responsible for. I didn't want my words just vaguely out there. And I felt the Lord go, that's not what I told you. Stay with the positive. Yeah, but, and the Lord, no, check it. What do what I tell you to do.
Yeah,
and I said, yeah, but Lord, I'm accountable to these people. He goes, no, you're accountable to me.
Yeah, that's right.
You know?
Capital M.
Uh-huh. And so I had to delete, delete, delete. And every time I hit that delete button, even telling you now, I get a little emotional because it was corrective, but I knew I was getting in alignment.
Yeah.
And that was powerful for me. And I sent it. And you know what their response was? Not only have we never had a member of the Wake County Republican Party with us, we've never had a positive word from the Wake County Republican
Party. And that's
powerful.
You got to search for it sometimes, but when you can find it, it's really powerful.
And so we were, and so I built on that. Well, then after developing the relationships, and they would say, that's a really good idea, but then they would keep talking in the echo chamber, and there was no difference. I thought, okay, I'm going to run. And I told Irv Portman, I'm going to run and I'm going to take your seat. When the music stops, I'm taking your seat. And I said, but it's not personal. But this echo chamber where the voices of the people of Wake County are not being heard is not good. And you all are not having a good dialogue at the table. You're not arguing
you?
Or debating.
No.
You're just, okay,
just
okay,
we'll do,
yeah.
It's the same old, same old.
Exactly. And this is not healthy. And it's definitely not family because that's not the way my family does it. And so when he got beat out because of his own party and he wasn't doing and what he was being told, and Susan Evans was put in there, and she beat him out in the primary. I turned to Irv, and I said, it's personal. I said, I'm going to take her out. And so that, I think that was my moment that I was like, no, this has got to stop where one party dictates everything.
Oh, yeah.
It's just not healthy.
Yeah,
it's not
healthy.
Good. And it definitely doesn't speak representation of the people.
No, that's right. So on a in terms of a North Carolina level, because that's the tricky thing for a representative, whether you're on the state level or the national level, is you have your own district, which is your primary focus, but then you're also a member of the North Carolina governing body. So what are some of the things on the North Carolina level, Kim, that really kind of drive you? Things that you really want to kind of steer into and be a voice in and be active in?
Well, just that. Like I, first of all, because of my upbringing and never met a stranger, this whole talk about the separation, the diversity, and the blacks versus the whites and the Hispanics and the Chinese and the this, I was not raised that way. I'm from Jersey.
It's identity politics.
Yes.
I do it all day long.
And so I'm not, you know, part of me grew up, you know, in my formative years was Jersey. And so actually we were told that if you really want to be an interracial church, you don't do black music, you don't do white music, you do Latino music because it brings them all together.
It's a compromise.
Yes.
Really. Yeah.
And it's like something, a little bit of that Latino music just kind of brings everybody, whether it's the rhythm or the...
Well, it's a little outside your regular.
Yes. And then,
yeah, but that's, I mean, one of the pillars of a democracy, any democracy, has to be the necessity of compromise. Now, obviously, for us as Christians, there are areas where we're not going to compromise.
Right.
Or should we? But in general, we're missing that. You cannot agree to disagree anymore. Those days are over. And for us as Christians, just seek peace and pursue it. I think it's Psalm 34. And even in a political realm, we can get more done that way. There are places, there are hills to die on. But there's other hills where compromise is fine.
Right.
It's not a big deal. But you don't really see that anymore. I mean, right down to the point of when they had the Infant Born Alive Act. And they passed it.
Right.
And then Cooper vetoed it. And then they couldn't override the veto.
Because they didn't have enough people in the House. And that seat, if I had been in there, I would have helped contribute so that we could have overrid him.
And that's where it's not just about North Carolina District 36.
Yes.
It's about the whole state and as well a testimony to the whole country in that case.
Right.
Do you feel that weight of the enormity of what it means to be a representative?
Oh, absolutely. And not just that, not just a representative of North Carolina, but I think North Carolina is first in freedom for a reason. I think North Carolina, so goes the rest. And I think that it's really, it is our job as North Carolina to set the standard, set it high, and then watch the heavenly blessings flow that others will want. I've told House District 36, I want everybody to be jealous, including you, that you don't live in House District 36.
Yeah.
Because the blessings are just, because we're in a proper alignment, it just flows and everybody benefits, whether it's the schools or the families or the businesses, the churches, we're just in alignment. And then North Carolina, you know, then the counties, Wake County, and then the counties, they're all jealous.
All the way up. Yeah, and that's the challenge that I think faces all of us, is to try to bring the conversation back to first principles for things that we can, all right, set aside, there's civics and there's politics. And Ben Sass did a great job the other day at the Kim Cole, at the, Kim Coley, Amy Coney Barrett's hearing, talking about civics, which is the rules of the road, this is how we govern, and politics, which is about individual issues. But civics is the way that we need to get back to, and then we can see some unifying. We'll be right back.
So what are we waiting for? A message in the sky. A miracle aside from us.
Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, talking to some of our neighbors here in North Carolina that are running for office. And we've got Kim Coley in the studio. We'll keep her here, and we're going to keep talking on some of the commercial breaks on Facebook Live. But wanted to turn the corner, talk to Greg Hahn. He's running for Wake County School District, the school board district too. This is something that, listen, I saw a t-shirt years ago that I'm going to pull Greg in here from a contracting company. And it said on the front, it just had the word whining, and then it had the circle around it, and it had the strike through it, right? So it's like, know this, know that. And so that one was no whining. And then on the back of the shirt, it said, you're not allowed to whine about that which you're unwilling to do anything about.
Mm.
So we whine like crazy. And my friend Sloan Rackmuth has been on the show, and we've talked about the infiltration of Marxism and the Black Lives Matter organization agenda into the public schools. And we whine about all this stuff, but very few of us actually do something about it. So we sit on the sidelines and we armchair quarterback. But every once in a while, one of us has the guts and the tenacity to care enough to do something about it. And so in this case, the school board thing is such a big deal. We complain about what's happening on the college level with indoctrination, whatever you want to call it. But that can happen on the local level, too. And we do not, conservatives just do not have much representation. That's where we've been beat time and time again by a liberal worldview and liberal mindset. They know where to go first, and that's the school board. So Greg Hahn is running, and really excited to have him on today and just learn a little bit, because some really big issues going on here. Greg, thanks for calling in today. How are you?
Good, Steve. Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. The website, by the way, if you guys want to find out more about Greg than you can in about 9 minutes, is VoteGregHahn, HAHN.com, VoteGregHahn.com. What kind of brought you into this? I know you have four kids, Greg, and that they've been involved in the school system, but what kind of brought you to the point where you're like, okay, I'm in?
Well, it's kind of similar to what you were just alluding to. I mean, I've got four boys, all have gone to the public school system in different parts of the country, New England all the way down to North Carolina. And I'm a pro public school person, and I just think there needs to be change as far as the BLM curriculum is one of the big things that the Office of Equity Affairs has now introduced to teachers as resources. And I just think there's no place for that in the classroom. I think political things and discussions need to be brought up with parents.
Yeah, it's such a great point. And by the way, Greg is a decorated Navy veteran, so thank you, sir, for your service and all that you've done for this nation. And that falls into kind of these three big things that you're dealing with in your campaign, which is so important. School safety, school transparency, which we were talking about, these dangerous curriculums that are out there, and then school performance. One thing that I think most people don't have a clue about, Greg, is the whole thing about school safety and school research resource officers.
Right.
So the SROs, this is a big deal. Most people don't even know about it. So tell us about that. What's going on?
Sure. One of the biggest things that people don't know about SROs is that they're the one-stop shop when it comes to domestic abuse. And right now, with the virtual learning right now, I feel bad for the children that had school to rely on as an escape. So I'm just dreadful to hear what those numbers are. But SROs play not only just safety, but, you know, a couple months ago, they saved an elementary student from choking. So they play a variety of roles. My opponent was the only person on the school board to remove them in July, in this past July.
Man.
So there's a huge difference right now. So school safety is huge. In fact, the last 2 years, crime has gone down. Domestic abuse has gone down in our schools. So I think that's a sign of our SROs having a presence. And not only that, but there's going to be consequences for your actions.
Yeah, and I think people are like, SRO, school resource officer. But what are all the different ways that they interact with our schools? Because you sent me a link for a case study, and you just see when we don't have SROs in the school system, just like you mentioned in domestic violence, and you put that in with COVID-19, and now we got moms mostly and kids right. stuck at home with abusers, and the SROs play a pivotal role in that and other things. So help us to understand just how important an SRO is in every school.
Yeah, and it varies by different schools. There's 75 SROs in Wake County, and the referral system has gone down, which means less kids are getting in trouble. They do have interaction with these kids. I write a lot on my blog, and I post positive things. You know, in Knightdale, there's a photo of a police officer just engaging with students. And unfortunately, the school board is saying that the SROs need more training, and that they're racially profiling certain types of students. Which to me, I think they're more focused on the end result rather than the process itself. You know, are we open to, you know, looking at different communications and improving certain things? Of course we are, across the board with everything. But I think for the most part, our SROs are there for the students, they're there for the safety of the teachers and staff. In fact, a survey about a year ago, only 10% of teachers said they didn't want two SROs in school.
Wow.
Only 10% of North Carolina teachers. So they see the value of these SROs in school.
Yeah, it's really remarkable about how ignorant our school system can be, because they say, we're for the kids, but they really aren't. They're controlled oftentimes by teachers unions. They're controlled oftentimes by the party, which is almost always the Democrat Party. And then who's at the end of that whip getting thrown around and damaged? It's our children. What about school performance? Because in that note that you sent me, nearly half of the schools in District 2 have a D or an F in terms of school performance. It's
correct.
Just unbelievably bad. So what can we do about that?
Well, a lot of the magic wand solution with anything is throw more money at it.
Right, of course.
Case. I think this, so for example, Lincoln Heights is one of the schools in my district, and they have the most funding, which is about $15,000 per student, and it's one of the lowest performing schools. So there's no correlation between the more money we invest, the better our performance is going to be. I think what really needs to focus on is the in-person classroom instruction. Getting good teachers to stay in Wake County and to be there for the students. So, and we also look at a board. We need to know, where's this money going, and are we getting an ROI with our money? You know, textbooks. When was the last time you saw a textbook? But yet we're spending close to $8 million on textbooks, but I haven't seen one. So there's a lot of things that we need to fix as a school board, and it's going to take a majority of us to really look into these issues and not just say, hey, we need more money from the state.
And so in terms of, I wanted to ask you about COVID-19, Greg, because everybody, I think people are starting to understand these elongated shutdowns, that kids being at home and stuck at home, and then they're trying to do a hybrid thing, and you come back once every 3 weeks. I mean, our daughter went to a public school for the first time in high school last year, and then, of course, in March, they shut all that down. The quality of the education went down even more, and now we're back to homeschooling because we just didn't want her to put her through that. It's very damaging. Right. I don't think we have a full grasp on just how much fallout there's going to be with our kids from keeping them out of school. What do you think about that particular topic?
Well, I can speak for my own two kids. I've got two in high school right now, and they're both struggling mentally and emotionally. I can just tell you that without going into specific details. I've talked to several parents who have expressed concern over their child, having anxiety, taking them to the doctors, having a doctor's note, and pulling them out of school. I've actually had a parent reach out to me saying, you know, when they were in school last year, that they were being bullied and abused by students, and
yeah.
My opponent never did anything about it. So I think we're not going to see the real bad result of this until the dust settles, until we actually go back in. I mean, for Wake County to be the 15th largest school district, I think we can be a leader as a state, and not only that, but as a country, to find out. Look, we need to take proactive choices, but the damage is being done, not only just mentally and emotionally, but also academically. While the rest of the nation goes back to school, our kids, our high school kids, are now falling short when they go to college.
Yeah, just as a reminder for everybody, I kind of beat people up on this all the time, Greg, because facts matter and they don't really care much about your feelings. But between the ages of 1 and 19, the COVID-19 survival rate is 99.997%. Okay? 99.997% of people between the ages of 1 and 19 survive COVID. And by the way, between kindergarten and the end of college, Greg, nationwide, there's about 76 million students in that group. About 200 of them have died of COVID. And we shut the whole things down. Look at that 200, and that's terrible, all 200 of those. But the damage that's being done to the rest of those kids is, like you said, and like I've been saying, is we don't know how bad it is, but it's going to be really bad. You're experiencing that yourself. What would you say to parents, especially in your own district, in the Wake County School Board District 2, Greg, as far as coming out, taking this position seriously? We look at Trump, we look at all those things, but what about the school board? Challenge the parents out there and the voters that they have to get in there and support you.
Well, I'm tired of the fear. I think between the media and between the board and between everything, we're pumping fear into each other's minds 24/7. And I wrote an article on the case for reopening of schools, and you mentioned the first stat that I put in that article. But it is also, well, what about teachers? Well, the teachers, the studies that have been done by teachers going back into Europe, is less than 1% transmitting COVID from student to teacher.
Right.
So there's really the whole thing about going back to school, we want to go back. My stance is, if I'm on that school board, I'm voting to go back to normal schooling. There's other school districts out there, whether it's private, charter, or other schools in the country that are flat out open that are going back to school normally. COVID doesn't just impact Wake County. It isn't just like, hey, we're going to attack, so you're going to look at all the school districts, and what's really bad about going back to the kids is that my kids have cousins in other parts of the country, and they're seeing their cousins going back to school. So they are seeing their own cousins. Why can't I go back? Why can't I go back into band? Why can't I play soccer? Why can't I see my friends at school? It's not just my kids, but it's across, all these parents want to reopen. Most of the parents I'm talking to want to reopen.
Which makes it even worse. Greg, thank you so much for calling in. Thank you so much for running and for being willing to step up to the plate. Thank you for your service to our nation. Vote Greg Hahn, HAHN.com is the website. VoteGregHahn.com. Greg, we'll make sure we get you on before Election Day, okay? Thanks so much for calling in.
Great. Thanks so much.
You're welcome. We'll talk to you later. You're welcome. That's why it's important. Apathy is not an option if you name the name of Jesus Christ. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. By the way, if you're with me on the radio from 4 to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday, which, praise the Lord, I mean, that's how this all got started. I've been on the radio since 2007 and love all our radio partnerships and Truth Radio and Ford Broadcasting and my pastor friend down in the Asheboro area and his stations. And we got a bunch of different stations and Wilkins Radio out in Asheville. That's radio is awesome, and it's a powerful force. But we're also on Facebook Live. And so radio and Facebook Live on radio, you're like, why? What's with the commercials? Well, you got to pay for stuff. Okay, I'm a conservative, and we actually believe in making money, having profit, because it's helpful if you can actually pay for stuff. So you got to have commercials on the radio, because that's how you pay for stuff. That's how you underwrite the ministries. That's how you support the station so that you can hear all the great teaching and talk that you hear on Christian radio. And so is there anything wrong with that? No, but you have to listen to the commercials. On Facebook Live, on the other hand, don't tell anybody I told you this. There's no commercials on Facebook Live. So when you go on the radio into a commercial break, we don't here in the studio. I just keep blabbing. And Kim Coley, who's with me in studio today, running for NC House 36, says intelligent things and wonderful things. And I just blab. But that's what happens. So you can do an hour on Facebook Live, but only 40 minutes on radio. Don't tell anybody I told you that. But what we would love to see on Facebook if you want to do that. EC Sykes is another brother in Christ and a friend of mine. He reached out to me a long time ago when they were first getting involved, he and his wife, and to meet other believers, and Kim, you know this, to be able to get in the trenches with other believers for the sake of not only our own children, our own families, but our state and for our neighbors is such a huge blessing. And I was blessed to meet EC really early on and to see what God has done, EC, with the campaign, and to bring you guys along has just been great. Thanks for calling in today. How are you, my friend?
Steve, I'm doing fantastic. But, you know, you have the honor of being the first station I was on the radio with.
Wow. That's pretty cool.
Thank you. I like that.
I'll take it. You're very welcome.
Thank you.
E.C. Sykes, which is a cool name, by the way. I don't know that I've ever said that to you before. Secretary of State is what he's running for. E.C. for N.C. How easy is that? I can't do that with my own show name. But E.C. for N.C.com, E.C. Sykes running for Secretary of State. Tell us about your time working on the Cruz campaign, because I think people don't understand that's kind of where you cut your teeth in politics, which wasn't your idea. You have a really successful business career. But why'd you get involved with Ted Cruz, and what'd you do for him?
You know, in 2015, the Supreme Court made a decision that redefined marriage. And in the course of doing that, they overrode the votes of millions of Americans. And so we had five people that thought that they knew better than what the voters were. And it was just like, man, it's just not the type of country that we've set up. And I didn't know what I could do, but I was moved at that point to do all I could. And I happened to be surrounded with access to some of the greatest, strongest conservatives in our country. And I just asked them, says, look, guys, I have a little bit of time here. We're doing some ministry work for my daughter. And I can make a contribution, particularly now that this presidential campaign, as we look to make some changes, return to our biblical values, who should I go to help? And he says, look, you really got one choice. This is early in 2015. You got one choice. And they introduced me to Ted Cruz and his campaign. And, you know, so I went there. And then, Steve, I went there as a volunteer. And volunteer meant you drove 3.5 hours to work on Monday mornings. You bought yourself a hotel room at night. Fridays you go home. And you did that for 8 months. And so,
wow.
But after 3 weeks or so, we got moved to be the National Director of Faith and Religious Liberty. And I got the chance to hear the voices of faith leaders all over our country, their concerns about our country and the drift we were away from our biblical values. And it has shaped my life.
Yeah, and that's a really alarming thing. And again, we can all go about our lives and do good things. You're a successful businessman and turning some businesses around. And those are all things that we can do all that for the glory of God, and it matters. But ultimately, if we're not doing things also for our neighbors, and in this case, through the governmental system, which we've been talking about on the show today, then that's a violation of neighbor love, which is a violation of God love. And I always tell people, hey, the opposite of love is not hate. I think it's apathy, to know and not do, to choose. To do that is really, really dangerous, especially when you have the power or the authority or the opportunity to do it. And for us as Christians, the fact that we're more than conquerors and greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Man, of all the people in America that should be on the front lines of these things, it should be us. So then you guys moved to North Carolina. And then what about, it's one thing to work on a campaign and be a part of Cruz's campaign. He's an incredible man and a godly man and a great American. But then to actually take the jump and get into a race, what kind of drove that, EC?
Yeah, what a drill it is, right? And so, I mean, North Carolina, I'm a 10th generation North Carolinian, and so this is where our heart is, where our home has always been. So it's fantastic for us to be back here. Work took us out of North Carolina to some various places. That was great professional development experience, which I had no idea how God was preparing me for this role. And so actually, he prepared me with three legs. He prepared me through our faith journey with tests and lessons in that area. He prepared me through the business successes that we had, and then the little political experience that he gave me, it was just enough. But now we're on the campaign trail, and it's for a person that's been in the business world, it's a really different experience. I've learned a lot, met some great people, but you know, it is not what you learn in business school in the life of business. Right? But it's gone well. It's gone really, really well.
Yeah, because it's pretty intimidating because it's a statewide race, and I know there's plenty of people out there. I'm sure you've had this question time and time again, EC, but why do we care about the Secretary of State? Like, what does the Secretary of State do? And if EC Sykes is the Secretary of State, how's that going to touch my life as a regular citizen in North Carolina? So give us the 411 on that.
Yeah, so first when I get asked that, I got to back out to the fundamental. I'm running because of our faith. Because of our values. Steve, I think there's people that went before us that enabled us to have the freedoms that we have now, and they paid a tremendous price. Some of that price was with their life, and other sacrifices. And now here we sit, we've become complacent. The church has pulled away from Matthew 5:13. We're not the salt and light. we're not shaping culture like we have, and we see the evidence of that. And so each of us have a place in the body, as 1 Corinthians 12 mentions, and so this is just happens to be my place in it. I think some other place, people serve some other great places in it as well. I ran for Secretary of State because this is the office that drives the economic activity in North Carolina. And with the business background that I had as CEO of three companies, as an officer in the Fortune 500 and business owner and president, it was the place that God prepared me to help the citizens of North Carolina at.
Yeah, and I think all of us are hungering for people with real world experience. I mean, Kim Coley's in here with us today, and she's been flipping houses for 20 years, great business experience, but also a follower of Christ. So if I can get that kind of business experience, that kind of solid real world experience, and the wisdom that comes from it, and the authority that comes from it, and then I throw some Holy Spirit stuff in there at the same time, this is like a Molotov cocktail of an epic level, okay? And when we have the opportunity to support people like that, whether it's you, EC, or Kim, who's sitting here in the studio with me, how do we not get excited about that? I mean, I praise the Lord for people like you guys that are in there doing this and willing to sacrifice and run. And so what have you been running into, EC, because I know you've been traveling across the state. What are you running into in your conversations with the people in North Carolina?
Well, we spend almost every Sunday speaking at a church. Actually, earlier today, I just got finished taping a message for a church somewhere. And really, for us, that's been our encouraging part. That's where we get our gas for the rest of the week.
Yeah.
Just there. But then for the rest of it, it's been a lot of people. It's been an education process. You know, the Secretary of State that we have hasn't done a lot, and so therefore the office isn't known very well. And so we've been letting people know what the opportunity is here to have somebody to help them prosper, to have the freedom to be able to succeed in the future. And so, and then of course, you know, you run through the normal political bumps and trials that happen, which, you know, we all know what those look like.
Well, it's fascinating.
We need to go through those here.
The context that you're in right now, trying to be our next Secretary of State, God willing, dealing with the business community, when the business community under the foot of our jack-legged commander here in North Carolina, Comrade Cooper, otherwise known as the governor, decimated the business environment, absolutely decimated, especially small businesses. So, EC, what I'm sure that weight is on your shoulders and running for this because you love your neighbor, you care about these people. But we really have a huge problem that, again, I don't think we've really seen. We see the tip of the iceberg. We don't see everything that's under the water as a result of this governor picking and choosing winners and losers. Of course, if you kill babies for a living, you're an essential business and you can stay open. But everybody else, it's just been pathetic and disgusting. But so what about dealing with that? If you become, hopefully, our next Secretary of State, what can you do to help jumpstart that from that position?
Yeah, and look, businesses need a person to understand the business language. Business,
amen.
Business has a language too, right? And so the governor's been there as a career politician. He doesn't understand it. And so you just look at decisions. At least a business person looks at it and goes, man, that makes no sense at all, right? And that's been true for a lot of the population of North Carolina. And so, look, elections have consequences. This is the consequence of that election. And so when I talk to the business people, they're begging for somebody to represent their interests. Somebody needs to be an advocate to help people get back to work, get safely back to work, right? And there's lots of different ways to do it. I would suggest one of the things we should consider is that the people in North Carolina are adults and they don't need a daddy to come
yes.
tell them, you know, the simple do's and don'ts, right? And so I think you need to be able to trust the people. And then secondly is that you don't need to centralize your power. There's different counties in North Carolina that are at different risk levels. You got businesses shut down in North Carolina that aren't struggling with this virus at the present time. So why are they suffering like a metropolitan that Raleigh or Sarah
right.
or Charlotte? And so just some of the business principles that I've learned, there's an opportunity to apply them in a better way to our state.
Yeah, such a great, I mean, we sit there and go, duh, that would be my response, duh. But unfortunately, that's where we're at, that there's just not common sense. You know, I'm a big guy with any business experience as the governor of the great state of North Carolina. So he makes bad decisions because he doesn't understand business. He's just a politician. But somebody like EC brings all of that, plus the Holy Spirit, which is just awesome. ECforNC.com is the website. EC Sykes for Secretary of State. ECforNC.com. God bless you, brother. Thanks so much for calling in today. I appreciate it.
Thanks. Kim, best of luck.
Thanks, pal. All right, we'll get back. We're going to be doing more tomorrow. We got Dan Forrest on. His debate with Governor Cooper is tonight. Make sure you watch that. Make sure you pray for them. Make sure you're praying for all of these candidates because they need our prayers. And then we're going to hear from Laura Trump tomorrow and then Paul Newby, who's on the North Carolina Supreme Court. This is Steve Noble on the Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon. And like my dad always used to say, ever forward.